Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We continue today peering into the pages of the New Testament Gospels as we follow the lives of Jesus and Peter. From the Lord, Peter is learning about God's patience with him. This is personal for Peter. And this got me to thinking, isn't it true that in our walk with the Lord, we certainly have our ups and downs? Sinners such as we are, albeit redeemed from our sins by Christ and in the process of being sanctified, that is, made holy by the Holy Spirit, we are not on a straight, always upward trajectory to Christ or with Christ, are we? And the question emerges and can hound some Christians. What does the Lord think of me in my downward days when I fail him? When I possess a burning desire to sin rather than be sanctified, when I get on the pathway of the prodigal and pack my bags and am ready to leave the Lord and go my own way. Oh, sometimes these down days last a long while, don't they? Jesus seems so far away. He's way, way up there and I am way, way down here. There's a great disconnect. He lives in heaven. I live in hell. Or at least what seems like it. This is a neo-pagan, godless world full of many too hard to overcome temptations towards sin. Yes, the Holy Spirit lives in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 is true. The Spirit of God dwells in you. He makes Christ real to us, and yet we sometimes struggle to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. This is real. At one time or another, every believer will have days and periods of days when all is not well in the body, mind, soul, and spirit. We have these moments of faithful obedience, of rich prayers and fellowship with Christ, and we know we are making positive strides in our sanctification. But we also have these moments of faithless disobedience, of no prayer and no fellowship with Christ, and we know we are backsliding and making negative strides against being sanctified. Well, surely I speak to someone who can relate to this. Well, this is one reason why it is crucial that we read, study, think about, and apply to us the life of Jesus and his first disciples, the apostles, in the four Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament. Because herein we see the dynamic, the fluid, that is, subject to change. The up and down kind of life the disciples had with the living human Jesus. And a prime example of this is Peter. Peter was not always on a spiritual high with the Lord. In fact, Peter would go from up to down and back up again, sometimes within a few verses, in relation to the Christ. As we continue to explore his life, I want to read to you one such experience. Here, I will not take time to give a much-needed commentary or teaching on the text. The reason is I want to spend longer with our next passage. Also, we do not want to lose sight of the main point. God is patient. Follow along, and this will make sense as we proceed. And you can turn in your Bible now, if you're able, to Matthew chapter 16. I trust that what follows will be of great encouragement to you, demonstrating how patient God is with Peter and with us. If you have been away from Jesus, come back to him today. If you are prone to wander, oh, you feel it, reconsider this day. And if you are in tight fellowship with the Lord, brother and sister, continue on this day. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13, I will read all the way down through verse 23. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then the Lord warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke the Lord, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Well, that was God's word to us in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 23. Wow, what a swing. Talk about being up and down. Jesus asked the disciples what is really the most important question all of us to this day must answer. Who is Jesus? Who do you say that I am? The question still interests God, and we must all give our answer. And notice it is Peter, having received the revelation of God the Father, who answers, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the correct answer. Peter did not come up with the answer himself. God revealed it to him. That's important. And I believe he was speaking on behalf of all the disciples. Having spent all this time with Jesus, a period of 2.5 years, having witnessed his miracles and listened to his teaching, they came to the right conclusion. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Messiah. Christ affirms the answer to the question by saying to our man Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." He uses Peter's original family name, which means Simon, son of Jonah or John. This is an Aramaic term, Barjona. I think Jesus used this name because he wanted to emphasize to Peter he was just a man full of all the same inadequacies to understanding God that we all have. Peter was not the first pope, nor is he the progenitor of all the other popes that supposedly follow him. And according to the Roman Catholic Church, popes who have the power and authority to speak ex cathedra on matters of faith and morals. I cannot get into this now, but verse 18 does not mean the Roman Catholic teaching on this passage is correct. Indeed, it is very wrong. Peter, my friends, was just a man. That is why he required the Spirit of God to reveal unto him that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, this is a spiritual high, friends. Verses 13 through 20 of Matthew 16 reflects a monumental moment of great height in the Gospels and really all of Scripture. Jesus has been correctly identified for exactly who he is. But then, sadly, comes verses 21 to 23. Peter's response to the Lord when Christ lays out for them his destiny, Peter's rebuke is not well received. Jesus says to this same man, Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." What? Wow. What stinging and hurtful words for Peter to hear direct from his Lord's mouth as a way to describe what he has said. Suddenly, this is a spiritual low. Notice that Peter took Jesus aside to rebuke the Lord. Rebuke is a strong word. This reveals something that must not be missed about the nature of Peter's relationship with Jesus. They were friends. They enjoyed an intimate and honest two-way relationship, and this gave Peter a way to speak frankly to Christ because Christ was fully human. So as Jesus' dear friend, of course Peter did not want to see Jesus suffer and be killed. But in saying this, he had sided with Satan because, of course, the evil one does not want Jesus to die for the sins of humanity. Peter and Satan, in this moment, had agreement in opposing the plan of Almighty God. Thus, Christ responds firmly. As a sinful, fallen human, Peter was setting his mind not on God's interests, but on his own. From the heights of spiritual joy, Peter says Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To the depths of spiritual sadness, Peter told to get behind me, Satan, goes the apostle, all in just a couple of verses, up and down. And thankfully, and we will keep reading, back up again. The story does not end here. And why? Because God is patient with Peter and the apostles and with us. So for all of us in need of the perfect patience of God, here it is. And next time we will see that there's another swing on this up and down pendulum of Peter's, and we will again find Christ being patient, the forbearance of the Lord on display, reflecting God the Father's patience. I do not know where you are at this day. For those of you struggling to remain faithful to Christ, for those of you who may feel like Peter did when Christ rebuked him, hear this. God exercises his patience with you. Come towards him before evening is out. Formulate a simple prayer of faith. Ask him to forgive you and draw you again to himself. And he will. More next time on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.